Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Thank you very much to the One Heart Beautiful Choir, and thank you so much for warming us up this morning. And while they exit the stage, won't you turn around and greet someone and welcome them to the center? Thank you very much. And let us take a moment this morning to acknowledge that something truly tragic has happened in our world. Let's take a moment of silence out of respect for the people slain in Christchurch, New Zealand. Thank you for that. I wanted to take a moment to start there and to acknowledge that March is also Women's History Month. And I can't help but think of one of the world's youngest political leaders, New Zealand's Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, who at age 38 finds herself in the position of having to respond to and address something truly tragic, a mass shooting massacre at a mosque in Christchurch, New Zealand, her country. Now, whether a person agrees with her position or not, personally, I find that there is something truly reassuring and refreshing about the clarity of her response, the directness and the swiftness of her response. She is unapologetically willing to take a bold and definite stand on a tough subject. Public massacre by gun. Even though doing so has stimulated some harsh reactions, you know, just like it does in our own country, where we have yet to learn how to discuss such a troubling subject with civility. Now, I'm guessing that when Jacinda Ardern set her mind on becoming the Prime Minister of New Zealand, she probably didn't have it in her mind. It probably wasn't a hope of hers to deal with public massacre in a place of worship or the apparent rise of white supremacist hate groups embodied and emboldened by their role models in world cultures. Yet it turns out that is exactly what is hers to deal with. Who is to say? Perhaps she is in the position she is in today so that she is able to put in motion the changes her nation needs because she is the right person in the right place at the right time. Maybe you are too. Maybe you're facing what you're facing in your life right now. Maybe you're in the position that you're in right now because it is yours to do the good thing that only you can do for the good of all and the harm of none. You know, I admire people of action like the Prime Minister of New Zealand, you know, who can make a clear and definite stand, even if it's unpopular. because I'm not always like that. I want everybody to like me. I don't like to trouble the waters always. The problem with that approach to life, I've found, is that it allows the unacceptable to become acceptable. It allows that which is unacceptable to go unattended. So today, I'm celebrating Women's History Month by turning to Jacinda Ardern, the Prime Minister, as my role model for speaking up and taking a stand quickly and definitively, and doing so without ever losing civility or dignity. I have a lot to learn from her. So do our leaders. You know, it reminds me of Queen Esther, who the Jewish world is celebrating at this time of year, exactly in March 20 to 21. It's the Festival of Purim. And I'm going to tell her story a little late, but it's at the end of March. I'm going to tell her story. Because Queen Esther had an inner drive to a drive to maintain her integrity, the integrity of who she was in the world, and then following that up with definitive quick action, well, in her case, measured action, because she knew what she had to do for the greater good. Maybe you felt that urge yourself, you know, a deep call within you to do the right thing, a deep call to step up your game for good. And felt how frightening it can be, and had a sense of how unpopular it is. And Queen Esther, we'll learn at the end of the month, when she made her decision to do something to save her nation from unjust and corrupt politicians, she said, "And if I perish, I perish. So be it." Now, that is a woman of resoluteness, of conviction, and principle. A woman who understood that the common good was greater than her personal comfort or well-being. So you probably don't want to miss her story on March 31st if that stimulates you. And by the way, next year, we've begun talking about it. We want to do a focused study and presentation on Women's History Month. And I mentioned that because somebody asked me recently, why do we observe Black History Month or Women's History Month? And why not this month or that month's history? And the truth is, anything that makes us a little more aware is worth celebrating. And especially celebrating the underserved, the underrepresented, the underappreciated segments of society is particularly helpful in living a spiritual life, especially if we say we are interested in the common good and oneness. It turns out that there is something to observe, something to be aware of, something to celebrate almost every single day of the year, somewhere in the world. Now, the people at holidayscalendar.com, they know that. They're a small group of enthusiasts who like history and like science and art, and they realized that there was at least one important event somewhere in the world that was being celebrated every single week of the calendar. So they created a site that celebrates significant events in history to help create appreciation and awareness of the diversity of things that mean something. It's heart-opening to go to their site, holidayscalendar.com. It's mind-expanding to learn about all of the things that people all around the world consider important and celebration-worthy. Of course, March is marked as a month-long celebration of women's contribution to society and history. It's celebrated in many places, Australia, United Kingdom, the United States, and other places. You may have already known that. What I didn't know and found out on their site is that the history of Women's History Month goes back to 1978 and a Sonoma County school district. I didn't know that. You see, starting on March 8, 1978, a Sonoma school district participated in a week-long study of women in history. And at that time, it didn't seem particularly significant that they did so. However, it became quite significant when their work was noticed by other organizations and eventually brought to the attention of the White House. And in 1980, it led to President Jimmy Carter proclaiming March 8th, 1980, National Women's History Week. And the president at that time stated that women are the unsung heroes of history and that their contributions are so often unnoticed by society in general. And therefore, he proclaimed it a worthy observation. And then over the next several years, schools across the country began to expand Women's Week to Women's Month, and eventually Congress designated the entire month of March as Women's History Month. And all United States presidents ever since then have issued proclamations to that effect. One of our past presidents said it like this. Now, I'll show you the pictures he's referring to. It's about the passion and vision of women educators like Mary McLeod Bethune, who, with only $1.50 in her pocket, founded a school for young black women. It's about the perseverance and pioneering spirit of women like Margaret Chung, the first Chinese-American women physician who supported herself through medical school by washing dishes. It's about Alice Paul's fight for the vote and Elizabeth Wanamaker Peretrovich's campaign to end discrimination against Alaska Natives. It's about the writings of Zora Neale Hurston, the paintings of Georgia O'Keeffe, the leadership of labor organizer Dolores Huerta, and the trailblazing artistry of photographer Margaret Bourke White. It is also about the millions of unsung women whose contributions have made life better for their families and for their communities and for our world, I'm adding. I propose that there is a way for us to celebrate both the interconnectedness of all life and women's history at the same time, with a simple spiritual exercise that I invite you to consider this whole week. You can do this with your family. Take a moment before each meal to do this. Two things. Number one, think about the women in your life who played an important role in you being who you are today, and name them. And secondly, think about everything that had to happen just as it happened for you to be able to enjoy the food that you're about to consume, the electricity that's ported into your home, the mail that arrives in your mailbox, and so on. In other words, what I'm talking about is a week practice of gratitude awareness. It's an exercise that is one of the pillars of spiritual living, an exercise that helps us embrace our interconnectedness, and it's an exercise that helps us feel our oneness with each other, and it's an exercise that helps us respect and value our differences. I also want to talk about oneness today because that is the theme for our month. And I want to talk about the author Donna Hines. I think that's how you pronounce her name. when she was asked to speak on team building with a special emphasis on creating alliances and community, she responded with something quite surprising and interesting. She said that from a shamanic point of view, there's no such thing as opposing sides. There's only one side. No us and them. Only we. So, she said, creating alliances is redundant. We are already aligned. Bam. You know, it's just as like making enemies is, well, it's against our nature. Here's what she said. These are terrible times of artificial division, manipulated resentment and fear. The real dynamic being played out right now is not about warring religious, economic, or nationalistic factions. The struggle is actually between those who believe the world is defined in terms of opposition, war and peace, right and wrong, rich or poor, with us or against us, and those who are able to see things in a more holistic, congruent manner. Well, that gives rise to five beautiful considerations, for me at least. One, am I staying open to inclusion as much as I can in my worldview? Two, as a spiritual being, am I trying to see the reality of our shared heritage? Am I really trying? Three, am I making a point every day more and more to be convinced by oneness and what unites us? Four, despite manipulated fear, am I maintaining a holistic point of view? Five, am I going to let myself be artificially manipulated? Still. Ooh. The author explains that from her perspective, we all come from the earth and we all return to her. She says we're made of the same stuff that stars, soil, and sea is made of. She says we breathe the same air that our ancestors breathe, and that when we touch someone, a particle of our skin is left behind and we pick up a package of particles in return. In other words, she thinks of our merging as literal. It's not just a nice spiritual metaphor. It's what's going on. And she says, the sooner we realize that and take it in, the happier and the safer and the saner we will be. And she says, that if you do feel called to the big picture awareness of oneness, then this is a very important time to stand up for it. To reach out in ever-expanding circles of affinity and embrace. Those are her words, almost poetry. Ever-expanding circles of affinity and embrace. Oh, that gives rise to more considerations for me. Can I expand beyond conversations I already agree with? Can I expand beyond communities and activities and food that I am already comfortable with? Oh, that phrase, circles of affinity. And affinity means kinship, and kinship demands empathy. And we talked about in the past several weeks that very thing and how important it is to grow in that direction, and how we can use questions to listen to each other, to learn from each other, and to honor each other, to connect and understand each other, to be able to go beyond artificial division and manipulated resentment and fear. Which reminds me that our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes, said something quite startling. He said, "We already know that it is not a natural order of things for people to be at war with one another." He said that we already know that the human heart is instinctively kind and peace-loving. And he said that if we are to promote peace and loving kindness and freedom for all, that the place to begin for a metaphysician is in their individual consciousness, because it will show up in the actions we take and the decisions we make and the illusions of separateness that we break. Because there is a power for good in the universe that flows through us, directed by our choices, shaped by our beliefs, colored by the warmth of our feelings. A power that we give form to in this world when we treat each other with respect and loving kindness. I invite you now to take a moment with me to breathe in. And exhaling, letting your eyes close. As we each in our own way turn our attention to the source from which we come, I recognize that source as the infinite spirit, the living spirit, a self-existent spirit, or as we heard in the opening prayer, an energy that infuses all creation, that goes beyond time and space. I identify myself with that spirit so that I can remember that my nature is of it, that there is in with me an infinity of love, that there is within me a clarity of thought that is immune to manipulation and coercion. And so I realize that whenever confusion arises, I can and do return to that center of peace to allow it to inform me and direct me so that I may take my place in the world, speaking up for inclusion, loving more precisely, caring more deeply, and understanding more wisely. I know that as I am transformed by this inner awareness, and the I I'm speaking of is the I of anyone who identifies with this, that as I am transformed by this awareness, the world is improved as I take down my barriers and open myself to inner illumination for the good of all and the harm of none. And I know that as sure as the sun shines today, that spiritual law is responding even now to this prayer we are praying, and that something on the unseen side of life is responding and preparing the way for us to be ambassadors of light in this world. And so I celebrate that. I look forward to it. And I know that even though I must wander through a dark and dreary land or sort through difficulties of social structures, that this awareness of spiritual oneness remains with me, consistent, bright, and guiding. And together we say, and so it is.